Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, August 31st, 2016. With me today, Kelly Gaumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. And it's great that you're here. Since I was doing my my series of music interviews last week, I couldn't have you on. And then before that, you were at App Camp for Girls. So it feels like forever since you've been here.
It kind of does. And I'm glad we were able to fix that.
Me too. Because, you know, everyone needs their Kelly fix. And so we are taking care of that right now.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy. Hey, speaking of boy, howdy, you know who Noel Lee is?
Yeah, he was, he's with Monster, if I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken. He is one of the founders of Monster, and he's kind of had a beef for a little while with Beats, because, here's how he's been linked with Beats. So when Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre wanted to start the whole headphones thing, they worked initially with Beats. And so that gave Noel Lee and Beats, or excuse me, Munster, a substantial chunk of stock from Beats. And eventually, all of that stock is gone and back in control of Beats. And then Beats gets bought by Apple. So Noel claims that what Beats did was orchestrate this very
the longest of long games is kind of how it sounds. Yeah.
Yes. So what happened was HTC invested in Beats and then sold their stake back to Beats several months later. But anyhow, the way this whole process played out, it triggered a clause in the contract that Beats and Munster had, which took control of Beats back from Munster, and also gave Beats all of the intellectual property, technology, designs, whatever, related to their joint venture. So Munster suddenly had nothing in the deal, and or very little. And so by the time the whole Apple deal rolls around, Noel claims that he had been pressured into selling off the whole, or whatever he had left. And so in the process, he gets screwed out of like $100 million. So he sues Beats saying, this is what happened. And
because you all totally played me.
Right. And that was a really long-winded way to get us to where we actually are today. So today's story out of all of this is that the judge that is overseeing the case, the lawsuit, has tossed out all of Noel's claims.
So Judge Nelson Muntz is who did this?
No, I think it's like a Judge Fisher or something, or Judge Frazier.
Well, it seems like all he got out of the case was, hey.
Oh, some days I'm slow.
It's okay.
I'm totally with you now. and I have to point out, because Brain isn't here to do it, people make fun of the way I pronounce the name of the company that Noel is in charge of.
Okay.
And founded. And people think that I say it wrong.
Okay.
Keep in mind, I learned how to speak in the Midwest. So the fact that I can speak in a fashion that people can understand around the world
is a minor miracle.
Yes, it is. So, yes, I know that I don't say Munster the way a lot of other people do.
Okay.
But it is what it is. I'm just glad that I can speak English.
Well, and thank you for pointing that out, because A, I'm sure we would have gotten email from that. And B, it does sort of sound like somebody's mad at the guy that made Apple TV, that wanted to make an Apple TV so badly for so long. So that is a very different story and not the one we're talking about.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very different story. All right. So, Kelly, there is salt in the wound for the whole Munster versus Beats thing.
And it is?
And it is that the lawsuit, which was set to go to trial next week, still goes to trial next week. But what they will be debating in court is whether or not Munster has to pay Beats legal fees in this case.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I'm sure that's going to end up being presided over by Judge Nelson Muntz for sure.
Yes. And I'm so with you this time. I'm sorry I ruined the joke before.
It's okay.
Anyhow, so that's where things sit right now. And I'm curious, do you think that the judge was right in ruling that the way the contracts and everything were written and the way the transactions happened, that there was no conspiracy here to screw Noel out of an Apple deal?
I don't think there was any conspiracy here at all. I think it may have been, unfortunately, a series of unfortunate events, for lack of a better phrase. I think what happened was just sort of circumstances. And it doesn't sound like, in the little that I know about it, I didn't read up a ton. It sounds like it was more of a series of events that caused him to not have any stake when Apple became interested in Beats. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like, it was, the day after he didn't have any stake anymore, all of a sudden we signed the Apple deal. It doesn't seem like it was anything like that at all that could even be construed as malicious unless you're on The Young and the Restless.
Yeah. All right. So here's the really hard part for me to swallow out of all of this. And that would be that HTC agreed to collude with Beats so that Beats could just get complete control over its property and its company. And
yeah, see, once I could understand where maybe he could make a case that Monster was trying to finagle him out of the scene and then the Beats deal with Apple went through. But I'm with you on that. I think that getting HTC in cahoots on the same thing is just a bridge too far.
Yeah, and it is weird that the Beats HTC deal happens, and then a few months later HTC says, yeah, we're just not going to do this. And that does seem a little weird, but I'm assuming that what that really means is that they got into this deal, and then once they were in, everyone realized that what they thought they were going to be able to collaborate on really wasn't going to work out. So yeah. Instead of staying in a no-win scenario, they just parted ways, and in the meantime, Beats got something extra out of that, which I'm sure they were hoping for all along, which is that Munster wouldn't have as much control over the company as before. I think the place where Neil potentially could have a more valid argument is when he was down to his like 5% share, 1% share, whatever it was, and ultimately sold off all that. He may very well have been pressured into doing that, but still, if you're the founder,
but the lead up to that put him in a position to have a one or a single digit stake in the company, like that wasn't any sort of conspiracy or anything.
I don't think so. And really, if you're the founder of a company as big as Munster and you're complaining that someone pressured you and I don't know, was mean to you, I don't know what, bullied you into selling off the rest of your stake in Beats. Mm-hmm. I'm just having a hard time with that.
There's a larger issue here, I think.
There's a larger issue here. At that point,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think the really big issue here is that he feels like he was ripped off because he didn't get to score $100 million off of Apple buying Beats. Mm-hmm. And now he gets to deal with salt in the wound, where the lawsuit goes on, and what they're really debating is whether or not Beats has to, or Munster has to pay Beats legal fees.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes karma.
It's almost like if he truly believes this is what happened, I feel bad for him. But at the same time, it's sort of nice to see that a ridiculous case that is brought to court will not continue. That makes me a little bit happy.
Yes, there is that. And yeah. And I'm sure he has a lot of remorse because the deal that they struck was much better for Beats than it was for Munster.
Yeah.
Just across the board. And I think that he's having some remorse over that because he's seeing all this money that didn't end up in his pocket.
Yeah, he's watching it all go by.
Yeah.
Instead of stopping it at him. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, speaking of watching stuff just kind of go by,
mm-hmm.
like maybe your own personal data.
Yeah.
Like maybe from Dropbox.
Or email that looks like it's from Dropbox that's trying to talk to me about my password, perhaps.
Perhaps. Yeah. If you've gotten an email in the last week or so from Dropbox that says something to the effect of, hey, you know, you haven't really changed your password since 2012. You need to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably really from Dropbox, and you really do need to go change your password.
In this case, it's totally legit.
Right. But what I would do instead of clicking the link in the email, I would open a browser window, type Dropbox.com. Mm-hmm. Log into your account that way and then change your password because that way you are sure that you're not getting a phishing email from someone.
Right.
But yeah, Dropbox actually sent out emails telling people you need to go change your password. Now, the way they did it was just to say, yeah, you haven't changed your password since like 2012. It's time for you to do that. So we're going to make you. Mm-hmm. What they didn't say is, hey, you know, this big data hack thing that happened to us, it really did happen, and it's very likely your password has been exposed and you need to go change it right away. No, they're just like, it's been long enough, you need to go change it.
I thought they forced them changed and let you know that you need to log in to change it to something else.
You know,
I honestly don't remember what the email said.
Yeah, I think it just said you need to go change it.
Okay. Well, whichever it was, if you have an email from Dropbox because you've been a Dropbox customer for 4 or 5 years or more, yeah, it's actually legit. And it turns out that it's a whole lot of account details. Part of the reason this is important is because a lot of people, regardless of their approach to password management, whether they use a password manager or they don't, or... you know, it's a notebook that lives under the keyboard or whatever. I can't believe I actually said that. whatever it actually is. A lot of people have a Dropbox password that they know, even if they use really long and really secure passwords for all their other stuff. You need your Dropbox password to be something you can type in so that you can get to your data, regardless right. of where you are, or you get a new computer and you need to be able to log into Dropbox and you can't because your password is some crazy thing and you only keep it stored in your password manager or whatever. So for a lot of people, this could be a not very secure password. The other reason it could be not very secure is because if you are somebody who says, oh, all my cloud services all have this same password, then that means if somebody gets a hold of that password, they can use it everywhere else you use the same one. So that's why people try really hard to get at really common accounts. Like your LinkedIn account is probably the same as other passwords that you use. And all anybody can do if they get your LinkedIn password is like update your resume. But if you use
it, make mine better.
Yeah. While you're there, if you're listening, Russia, So the thing that you can do is, if I get your LinkedIn password and it's the same password that you use a bunch of other places, I'm going to go try it on Amazon, which will cost you money, or on iTunes, which will totally cost you money. And now I have access to a bunch of information, a bunch of data. You know, it could even be your email password. So that's why only using one password in one place is so much easier, because if something happens to that password, then all you have to change is one. You don't have to change 15 or 20 or anything like that. And some password managers, if you do decide to use one, some, not one on paper, but if you try to use an app for it, a lot of them have a way that you can either search for a password. So if there's something that you use a lot, you can see what all accounts use it, or we'll have a filter for all the accounts that have the same password. And that's a really nice way to make sure that you aren't using the same thing more than once, because that's a really easy way to get into a lot of trouble.
Yes. Yes, it is. And so, Kelly, do you know what sort of information hackers have access to from this Dropbox breach?
Right now, it looks like it's primarily credentials, and it was something that Dropbox mentioned at the time.
So this was actually back in 2012 when it originally happened.
Yeah, when it happened. Somehow the data is now making the rounds. So occasionally, Dropbox will change the way that they store people's passwords, which is handy because it means that if there's some particular method that hackers are able to use to decrypt and Dropbox changes to some other mechanism, then your information is still safe.
Oh, nice.
Because nobody can get into it that way. So it looks, here's the thing that is mostly concerning about this one, is that what we're finding out about it now is that this is 60 million account details.
Holy crap.
Which is so many people. So yeah, it's people from about mid 2012 back. So if you signed up in the last year or two or even three, your information's not part of this breach. So,
or if you have changed your password since then.
Yeah.
Well, your information could still be in the breach, but you're safe.
But it's invalid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it just won't work.
Right.
So, and the thing about this is that it's not the Dropbox information isn't showing up in a lot of places where this kind of data is sold, because Dropbox took those measures at the time. But I think this is becoming a new wave of news, because they did send out that email last week, and now the information, more information is coming out about it.
Yeah.
So,
go change your password.
Yes, please do. Almost half the passwords are stored with this strong hashing function called bcrypt. And this means it's probably going to be very hard to get into the actual password. So I asked somebody one time, and then the rest of them are using most of the hashes are using something called a salt, which is a random string that you add as part of the process when you turn it into a long string of letters and numbers, even though your password is, you know, Jimmy. I asked someone once how that actually worked, and he said if you add a salt to a hash, the best way to describe it is I hand you a cake and tell you to turn it back into all of its original ingredients.
Ah, okay. I like that.
Yeah, so for the most part, the data's not available because the data isn't useful. So all those dark corners of the internet that people usually find this sort of information, they're not finding this particular pile of Dropbox accounts, because a lot of them aren't going to be useful. So nobody's going to buy them. So nobody's going to sell them. And then, but the rest of it, I think, like I said, is because they sent out a password. And this is another reason that it's a really good idea to change passwords occasionally, I know a lot of people say every 6 months and things like that. And, you know, the learning curve on something like that and the time investment on changing all your passwords twice a year depends on the data that you're dealing with. But for the most part, once a year or so for most people is probably going to be just fine. So just make sure you review your passwords and that you're using something. It's okay if it's something that you know. Just make sure that it's a phrase, you know, or a few words together that you end up typing. Something like that's still very easy if you have to type it on your iPhone or your iPad. And anything that you can do to make your password longer is going to make it harder for someone else to guess.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, Kelly, we're out of time. But... I know, but before we go,
yes,
Stranger Things season 2 has been announced.
I know, it's an official thing, and there's a trailer, and it's super awesome.
It is. It's a teaser trailer, so you don't see any scenes from any episodes, but we get the title of every episode.
Yeah,
and so if you haven't watched Stranger Things yet, it's a Netflix original series, and the way I like to describe it is that this is everything that happens right before Mulder and Scully get called in to investigate a case.
Which is totally true.
And so we've had a whole season of this, and I thought it was absolutely glorious. I thought it was so well done. And now we're going to get season two sometime in 2017. So we don't know exactly when, but it's coming. And that gives you a little bit of time, if you haven't watched it yet, to make sure that you do. And
let's point out that it's 8 episodes. This first season was 8 episodes. So this is not a significant time investment. This isn't, you know, when you talk about a season of 23 or 24 episodes.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about here.
Right. Each episode's about an hour long-ish. Mm-hmm. And so season 2, 9 episodes coming in 2017. And I am really looking forward to this.
And so, interviews, the Duffer brothers, the people behind the series, have talked about how they want this one to be dark and sort of very, like, in a different feel, kind of weird and out of place compared to what season 1 was.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very funny if you've watched Stranger Things and you think about it and you think about somebody saying, yeah, season 2 is going to be real dark.
And season 1 wasn't?
Yeah. So they talked about giving it the feel of sort of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which is a movie that warped a generation of little kids, let's be honest. And yes. And they're looking forward to building something like that. And I can't wait to see what it's going to look like.
I'm looking forward to it too.
I'm too.
All right. So we are out of time. We need to wrap up.
Okay.
Kelly, thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome, Jeff.
Listeners, thank you for joining us again today. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.